Mr. Cotto, could we at this point interrupt your narrative and ask you to give us a fairly detailed sketch of Mr. Raymond Loewy, who had probably about mid-career had gotten into automobile design just immediately before the war, and had quite a tenure at Studebaker. Could you tell us a bit about him? What sort of a personality he had? What his working techniques were? His supervisory techniques? Anything that you remember about him that that sticks in your mind?
Oh yeah, yeah. I loved working for Loewy. Mm-hmm. Contrary to Exner and Gordon Burek, they felt he was too much of a showman. Mm-hmm. But I thought he was great. He was so kind and so appreciative of, and I thought he had a good taste, and he certainly was an asset, I thought. Although as far as, he didn't dominate in his own design, he made his own show cars and things like mm-hmm. that.
Right.
But he didn't insist that we do this or that, although he did insist that we make a lean, fast-looking automobile. He didn't want, he did disliked bathtubs,
mm-hmm.
Right. As far as cars are concerned.
Which were prevalent in those days.
Yeah. He didn't want heavy front ends and mm-hmm. and things like that.
He preferred the aerodynamic.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Which most of us liked too.
Would he come out to Studebaker? Come out to South Bend periodically?
Yes, he'd come out there quite often, and he was very interested. It wasn't something that was just a money-making thing for him. He mm-hmm. he seemed to be very genuine, interested in it.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, he was to, the interest that he had in it was shown in this, the 53 Studebaker,
yes.
the hardtop.
Yeah.
That was his idea to come out with a first thought was a show car,
mm-hmm.
and he wanted this show car. And it started from that.
Mm-hmm.
However, that that's another long story. But getting back to Loewy again as a personal man, he often would want everybody to be happy. It was sort of like almost like country club living. He used to say that, think about cars all the time. Think about them on the way to work and everything. But you don't have to be here all the time. He said, although it didn't work out that way, we had our regular times to work and so on. We had our overtime, which was kept track of, and some of them got overtime pay and stuff like that. But most of us just enjoyed working and was kind of free, and he had parties we'd entertain. I belonged to country club, and I was often entertained at the country club at his expense.
Mm-hmm.
And
did he encourage a family atmosphere?
Yes, the all the women liked him very much.
Very charming.
Very charming. He was elegant.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he was a charmer, all right.
At this point, do you remember another female designer at Studebaker named Audrey Moore?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, she was a designer there, and I can't remember just what she did. Or
she worked largely in fabrics and colors.
I think so. I think pretty much that way.
That was a traditional
yeah.
role for female
yeah,
designers.
It was, yeah, it was, yeah. Although they had one designer, Exner, hired her, Virginia Spence.
Oh. S-P-E-N-C-E.
Yeah, came from a wealthy family
mm-hmm.
there in South Bend. And her assignment was to work with me on this.
Oh, really?
It was the first model that we worked on.
Ah.
And she was a very charming woman.
How long was she there?
Oh, probably, I don't know, not many years, maybe one or two years.
Did she contribute to
anything? Well, as much as possible, I guess. I don't.
Have you kept contact with her over the years?
She moved to Colorado, I know, but I don't. I've never heard much about her
mm-hmm.
from then.
So this is pretty close to the introduction of the 47 Studebaker at this point, and you're working on a couple of years beyond that, aren't you?
Yeah, then The 47 Studebaker, then later, later we worked on facelifts of the 47.
I see.
And the probably the most interesting or the most talked about, controversial one was the 50, the spinner front end.
Oh, yes. Tell us a bit about that.
Well, that was started on a, it was a, we had a model, or a 47 Studebaker in there, and we chopped the front end out and put on a front end, and it was a big spinner. I think I didn't have anything to do with that first one. It was, I think, Vince Gardner and Loewy, and Burke worked it up, and, mm-hmm. and Loewy was interested because he always liked spinners and stuff like that.
Did he?
Yeah, he liked that. And it was Roy Cole saw it, and he said, if Studebaker ever does a thing like that, they'll go broke. but it was a controversial thing, but it was a big seller. They sold an awful lot of 50 Studebakers.
Did they? Uh-huh.
And 51, I redesigned the grill a little mm-hmm. bit, and, mm-hmm. but I still had the spinner type. But then in 62, they went back to more of a conventional type.
52.
Yeah, 52.
At this point, it may be instructive to dwell on a situation which you got involved in. At this point, Dick Khalil apparently had left Studebaker.
Yes.
And had gone to work for George Walker, had he not?
Well, no, not quite that way.
Okay.
He was laid off because Burke was in charge, and Burke, although he liked Cleal and all that, mm-hmm. but he was told to cut down on the personnel.
Right.
He had to make a budget cut.
Cleal had been a staff
and
designer.
He had been a designer there before Loewy's big department.
Okay.
And so he'd been there a long time, but he had to go. And I don't remember whether Dick asked me if I would help him make a model, or whether Burke's story is that Burke told me to help Cleal make a model.
By this time he'd gone to Walker's?
No, he hadn't.
Oh, he hadn't.
Well, he tried to get a job with Walker, but Walker told him, well, if you will make a model and show it, and we like it, we'll hire you.
Okay.
It was that way.
So at this point, he came back to you and
so he
and
came to me, or he came to Burke, I'm not sure which. Mm-hmm. But anyway, I...
Did he have a sketch with him?
No okay. sketch. They had the package, you know, the headrooms and
the package.
Okay. We had to work to an exact package.
Dimensions.
In fact, I wanted to change them, I remember, and he said, no, can't.
Well, let's talk about that in a minute. So then what happened? He brought the package design.
So, yeah, okay. And so he had Dick had a buck armature made for it, and
one quarter
size, mm-hmm. and on his kitchen table, not much bigger than this,
uh-huh.
we had this quarter size model.
Now where was his kitchen table? Where did he live then?
He lived in Mishawaka. I don't remember the street number.
Not too far from South Bend.
It's
Twin City.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So he was still there in Mishawaka, and he brought this package.
Yeah, in a short time, I just worked at nights mm-hmm. and the weekends, and...
What did he ask you to do?
Design it.
Design it?
With him.
Okay.
Yeah.
In other words,
yeah.
You had to do a sketch?
No, I didn't have any sketch. I just start making a model.
Okay, fine. Yeah.
With these, that's the way I often worked anyway. I very seldom worked from a sketch.
Now, would you make a mold first?
No.
Or would you do a clay?
No, it's clay. We made the clay model. Clay model, and then later, plaster model was made from this clay model.
Okay. But here you are in South Bend working for Loewy at Studebaker. Dick has just left and is trying to get a job with Walker. And Walker says, okay, take this package and see if you can come up with a model.
Right.
But Cleal had no modeling experience at this point.
Oh, no, he didn't do any modeling.
So I did the
whole thing.
You were friends at Studebaker.
Yeah, I just did it to help him out.
And
I was always, I felt like maybe I wasn't being loyal, because here I was working for Loewy, and then nights and weekends I was working for Ford, working on a Ford.
But possibly Bob Burke said it was okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's what, I don't recall that he did say that, but he said that in his book.
Okay.
So I assume that maybe that's the way it was.
So his okay plus your friendship decided.
Yeah, but I remember I didn't want to mention it to anybody.
Right.
And it was a secret as far as I'm concerned, but apparently Burke knew about it.
Well, tell me.
And if he knew about it, why, well, yes, I did know he knew about it, too, because during this work, Dick Cleal did have a little thumbnail sketch that Burke did.
Well, Burke did.
That Burke did. Mm-hmm. And he said, shall we try this? And I said, yeah. So we tried that sketch. And that was the little spinner. That was the front end, the grill. But
so
as far as I knew, that was about it.
So actually the spinner that Burke designed for Cleal
was did come on.
Then it became the front end of the 49 Ford.
Yeah, yeah, pretty much so.
So there you are in your kitchen, or you're in Khalil's kitchen.
Khalil's kitchen.
And what happens? Tell us a bit.
Well,
about that.
He had this model cast, as I said, and painted. It was painted a blue, nice blue, professional automobile painter painted it for
Your model.
For Cleal. So Cleal took it to Walker and
in Detroit.
And see, Walker wasn't vice president at this time. He was he still had his consultant job. He was a consultant.
To Ford. Yeah.
To Ford.
Mm-hmm.
And
they were working on the first
post-war Ford. So Walker showed this to the management.
Mm-hmm.
Along with some other models.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty well explained in this book, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And they picked this model.
Mm-hmm.
And it became pretty much the way the model was. The production car was pretty much the same, except for the taillights.
Uh-huh.
They had horizontal taillights, which I thought was very good. In fact, I think I liked it better. We had vertical ones.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And I think it didn't hurt the model at all.
So, from your standpoint, once you had done the model for Cleal, he left, thanked you and left,
mm-hmm.
and from your point of view, you never mentioned it to anyone. You felt
no,
it was...
No, I never. I'm sure I had done so many other cars that I liked better. It was very straightforward. It was a nice car, but I was surprised that it was accepted as well as it was. The coupe looked good. It was a nice car, but it was a little bit on the bulky side.
Timmy, tell us, in your opinion, how much of what became the 49 Ford resembled your original thing?
Oh, exactly, except as I said, the taillights.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't know any difference.
Really?
I'm not sure that we had a molding on the side, but I probably did.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't recall any difference.
Your original taillights were?
Their taillights were horizontal.
And yours were vertical?
Yours were vertical.
Okay.
Either one was good.
How did the spinner device become a part of that? Had Cleal taken the sketch that Burke had made and showed it to Walker as well?
No. I think I didn't know this at the time, but apparently Burke, maybe I did know it, but I don't remember it. Burke said he asked me to do this model.
Yes.
But Burke knew that Cleal was doing this model,
uh-huh.
and they sort of talked to, or maybe Cleal went over at the office
mm-hmm.
and talked with Burke, and Burke gave him a little sketch.
Mm-hmm. A front end device.
Yeah, and which we tried out.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as other than that, I didn't know Burke had anything to do with it.
Did you put that front end on on your model?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
And Cleal showed you the sketch.
Yeah. Yeah.
And later on, you found out that Burke had done it.
Well, I think I knew it at the time when I was doing it, but I didn't remember that Burke had told me. Asked me to work on it for Cleal,
yeah.
However it may have been.
Well, when it finally came out, did you think?
Well, Cleal told me all along. He kept me in touch with us.
Oh, he did?
Yeah,
he
and he said, do you know him at all? No.
No.
He's, Assyrian, a big fellow and very aggressive, and he makes a nice appearance, and he thought he was going to be in charge of all Ford styling. And he says, I want you to be my chief designer of one of the studios. And, and he said the same to Burke.
And anyone
but all he did was get a job.
He got a job.
And
with the Walker unit.
Yeah. Yeah. But then later, Walker got him a job at Chrysler.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Because
and
he didn't stay with the Walker
this
unit.
This was just when Exner was coming in, before Exner became a vice president. And Khalil had about the same chance, as I understand it. Now, I don't, this is just hearsay, that Dick had a chance, almost like Exner did, of doing show models and doing stuff. Mm-hmm. But apparently his stuff got lost, and he stayed with Chrysler, but not as a top executive or anything like that. He was in trucks for a long while, mm-hmm. and a liaison man for a while, and
was Khalil ever at Ford, as far as you know?
Well, yeah, he got his job at Ford.
Oh,
see,
through this
model.
Yeah, okay. Fine.
So I don't know just how long he stayed at Ford. Not very long, because Walker got him this job at Chrysler.
Well, that's interesting. But as you say, it was just another in a long series of things you've done in your career of that sort. You don't remember it except when the 49 Ford came out. It was just another incident.
Yeah. There was another time that that I did some work, and that was, again, what I probably shouldn't have done. In my garage, a quarter-size Lincoln Continental.
Oh, really?
This is for the first Continental, not the first Continental, the Mark III.
Mark II.
Mark II, yeah, right.
Yeah.
Mark II. And there were quite a few people that made models for that.
Oh, did they?
Yeah.
Did any of you?
And mine didn't get the first base.
Uh-huh.
I haven't got any pictures of it or anything. Mm. But I did get paid for that. But
okay.
I didn't get paid for anything on the Ford.
Who contacted you for that?
I think Khalil, or was it Walker?
Was it Reinhardt?
No, not Reinhardt.
Reinhardt
was laid off about the same time Khalil was, I think. So when they had to cut, and Reinhardt, of course, he was making a lot of money. At he was much higher paid than the rest of us at Lois, and so that I guess when he left, the budget was closer to being met. Anyway, he. And he went to Packard shortly after.
So there you are. At you're watching in 49. You see something come out that looks very much like the design you did a couple of years before. The model.
Yeah.
What did you think about that?
Oh, I was pleased, of course, but I never thought it would bring this publicity. In fact, the first time I had heard about it, I got a call from I think it was from Mike Lamb.
Mm-hmm.
And he said that Gordon Burig had contacted him about the 49 Ford. He said they had an article about the 49 Ford. I guess it was a convertible road test or something. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
And anyway, Gordon said, if you want to know anything further about the 49, call Cotto.
He knew
so,
about that, too.
So... So then, from then on, I had a lot of correspondence, and there were a lot of things that I did, Hudson, Briggs, mostly Briggs stuff, and some of the early SIA
mm-hmm.
magazines.
Well, so you're working now on doing facelifts for the 51 and the 52.
Yeah, and then came the all new programs.
Now, how did you fit into that?
Well, I had my share.
Mm-hmm.
I had a full size, all new car called the N car. It had a spinner front end too.
It did.
Yeah, and
you like that?
I I had mixed emotions about it. I kind of liked it, but it I can see why. Some designers I know. I talked to one from General Motors one time, and he thought it was terrible. And I thought it was so much better than the General Motors flat, uninteresting front ends at that time.
Overdone.
Burke was Burke was manager at that time.
So he approved that type of front end.
Oh yeah, but this N car that that I did, it was a full size model, and it was the coupe was very interesting. The sedan was a little bit awkward, and the one thing that wasn't so, it was more or less a Lowy's idea. The front fender came through into the door, but instead of dying out or it came down and made a Z turn and then went back into the rear bumper. And it had this kind of a flare. But other than that, well, I kind of liked it, but it was a controversial thing. And but the interesting thing about it was that the front door, it was very nice on the coupe, where it was a long door. The front door didn't line up with the rear door. The front door had a drop, so your elbows would be can be out over the door easy instead of up like this. And it had a drop door and came through. And that was a quite unusual thing.
This is your design?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And they made a steel model of it, a full-size running model of it. But I never rode in it. I've seen it, and then later it was scrapped. And in fact, it was in one of the graveyard. That's where, in one of the SIA magazines, there was a picture of this. And then I had other photographs of it. There was a feature of it.
I remember that. In the SIA.
But then the later, it was the full-size model, or before it got to the graveyard. And it was an interesting car. I don't know how it would have gone over. It was. It wasn't.
Was this to be part of?
It was fairly radical. This was to be the 52 or 3.
Yeah,
52. I think originally a 52, but then later a 53. But then it was scrapped, and then the 53, as it came out, was done. And that was. Did you read anything about that?
Tell us about the 53 Studebaker. What was it like?
Well. All the designers worked on quarter-size models. And finally, two of them were picked, one Burke and one mine. That's the way it usually worked out.
Was that inter-office competition?
Yeah, okay. We had inter-office competition. And even up to the very end. And so we had a full-size model. The quarter-size were picked. And Burke had one side of the coupe to do, and I had the other side of the coupe to do. And then there's a full-size sedan. He had one side, and I had the other side. And we worked on that quite a while, and different, we got a lot of photographs of that, both sides. And come Judgment Day, Lowy came and looked at him. He liked both sides, but he didn't know what to do, and so he suggested we have a vote. There were quite a few people around there. There were engineers from Studebaker. There were they didn't have product planners, but something like product planner.
Right.
And
executives.
There weren't any top executives.
No.
Draftsmen and things like that, and all the modelers. And Lowy had quite a crew at that time, about 35 people, I guess, working at that time. And so there was a vote. And 60, I forget exactly, but it was 60 in each case, sedan and the coupe, that liked my side better.
Mm-hmm.
But I remember seeing Lowy and Burke talking about it. And apparently Burke convinced him that they should do his side, which is very nice, of course.
Yeah.
But mine was... much wider in the C-pillar. It had a flush C-pillar. Fender wasn't way out from the C-pillar.
Uh-huh.
The C-pillar, well, just like cars are today.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
They flush.
Much more flush, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So that was the basis difference. The front ends were quite similar, except different variations of the grill, but they are the front ends are.
So Bert talked Lowy into accepting his design. How did you feel about that?
Well, I was disappointed, mm-hmm. naturally.
Yeah.
But, and then another interesting thing, though. There were so many, I was always interested in interchangeability. Mm-hmm. I could never see why some cars were so close together and no interchangeability between them. And that's the way our sedan was and the coupe. Although the sedan wasn't nearly as nice as the coupe, but there was familiar designs. And one time I was over at the engineering looking at the two, and the bumpers could just as well have been the same, but they were different, but the same design.
Mm.
And just by doing a little widening one out a little bit and narrowing the other up, we could use the same bumpers. So I did that. And Bert never liked the idea of trying to get any interchangeability really? Between them at all. He wanted the coupe to be the sporty car and didn't care much. I wouldn't say he didn't care much about the sedan, but words to that effect. And
you could have saved him a lot of money.
Oh, yeah. And later, I did get to make my point.
Uh-huh.
I made a line drawings of the coupe. It was already approved.
Uh-huh.
And the sedan was approved, too, pretty much so. But I made a line drawing of the coupe and a line drawing of the sedan and showed how they could have been interchangeable and with using everything the same, including the windshield forward and using the same design as the coupe and making the roof, the sedan was a shorter car than the coupe.
Yeah. Right.
Wheelbase.
Uh-huh, yeah.
But I moved the wheelbase back
uh-huh.
on the sedan, made them the same wheelbase,
mm-hmm.
and made a nice-looking sedan from the line drawings.
Mm-hmm.
And I took it over to, with Burke's permission, over to Hoffman. I think he was the
Hoffman was the chairman.
Mm-hmm. And he liked the idea, but it was too late. But that's what they should have done in the first place. To me, the sedan was a lot of people say an ugly car. Well, it was compared with the coupe.
Uh-huh.
But they could have been the same.
Mm.
Of course, it would have cost more, maybe. Maybe not initially. Either. It probably wouldn't cost more because of the interchangeability.
Sure.
But it was the bigger car. See, the sedan would have been 123-inch wheelbase instead of what it was.
Well, you were a prophet without honor there because 10 years later, that became...
That was the thing to do.
It was
the thing to do a long time ago.
Yeah.
Well, where are we?
Well, you're in the early 50s. So
yeah, 53. Oh, and then from then on, it was facelifts, and Burke did all the, pretty much all of the facelifts. The 55 was... although he didn't approve either, but he got from management, lots of chrome, get bright stuff out there. And so he went overboard and 55 made a great big chrome thing on the front, which, you know, that wasn't some... He didn't like it either, I don't think. I never mentioned about the trucks.
Yeah, tell us about the trucks. Huh?
That goes back into the... That came out about the same time the 47 does, because that was done way back when I first started working. Yeah, and this is, I have a great deal of respect for Burke, and I don't want to give the impression that he wasn't right or that he didn't say the right things or whatever, but his version of the truck is different than mine. But I'll tell my story.
Okay.
One of our first projects was for an all-new truck,
mm-hmm.
and it was different than trucks of a better layout. It was a drop frame, and it was lower than Ford trucks and Chevrolet trucks, and so we both made them. Each had a model, and they each had the truck part, you know, the back part,
mm-hmm.
Flush with the cab,
yes,
right through, like all trucks are today,
mm-hmm.
and.
Quite an innovation.
And it was a real nice, both of them were nice,
mm-hmm.
but they picked my my cab, my design. Mm-hmm. It was a little fuller. I think his is a little square, mine was a little rounder. Mm-hmm. And they picked my cab, but they picked his front end, which was very nice. It was mm-hmm. painted, it was oval, three oval, long oval things in the front. And but then Sparrow, no, it wasn't Sparrow. It was the man in charge of the trucks. I can't remember his name. He said, well, that's a good design, but I think we should save that for some other time.
So they had picked your design for the cab, for the rear end. Could you tell us that again?
In each case, Burke and I did the back part of the truck. What do you call it?
The bed.
The bed,
mm-hmm.
Flush with the cab.
Right.
You know, just
mm-hmm.
like all trucks are now.
Uh-huh.
And but they wanted to save that for some other time, or I don't know why. So they had to have a fender. You know,
I see.
Like
uh-huh.
so I modeled did the fender.
Mm-hmm.
But
but
that's about it on the trucks.
Well, did you say that that even though your rear end design had been picked, they saved it?
You mean the truck?
Mm-hmm.
No, the it went back to a conventional type truck with a rear fender and a box.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
I see.
So that was the way it ended up. They never went back to a flush type.
Even though they said they wanted to save it for another time.
Well, that was just his remark.
Oh, I see.
I'm not even sure he said just like that, but.
No, Mr. Burke seems to think that it happened slightly differently. What does he say?
Well, he just said that they, in some of the reviews that in his book and so on, that he takes all credit for the truck, except for the rear fender.
So he considers that was yours.
And yeah, just the rear fender.
Just the rear fender.
And it was a little more than that.
So, did you have any further experience in truck design at that time?
No. Well, when we first came there, we had a we were working on
mm-hmm.
on some war work,
yeah.
or at least should be in order to get deferred,
mm-hmm.
and we did have make some sketches on an army truck.
Mm-hmm. You did.
Yeah, and as I remember,
was it accepted?
I think the one I did was accepted.
Ah.
However, it wasn't a styled car, you know, it was a pretty boxy army truck like thing.
Studebaker did some.
Oh, yeah, they did that car. They did that.
The
yeah, they built
army.
A lot of trucks for the army.
So, in the there you are in the early 50s, you've worked on the early 50s Studebaker and the 53 Studebaker. What's next on your docket? What comes up next? You did some facelifts, you said, for the 53.
Well, I didn't have much to do with any of them
mm-hmm.
that I can recall. Then when Packard merged with Studebaker,
mm-hmm.
Lowy lost his contract, you know, and
Bill
Schmidt came over then, and he was to be the in charge of the styling, not Lowy.
Vice president was, in charge of styling.
I think he was to be vice president.
Did he come from Ford, Bill Schmidt?
No, well, originally, yes.
Yeah.
But he was at Packard, wasn't he? He
came
from
Packard.
Because
Packard, right.
Packard
yeah.
hired him.
Mm-hmm.
And but Lowy wanted, even though he lost his contract with Studebaker, he wanted Burke and myself and about three others to stay with him,
mm-hmm.
Which we did. And we worked in Lowy's and Burke's basement. We met there every day and we worked pretty much a full day
mm-hmm.
on industrial things. Burke would go around and maybe get some manufacturer interested in designing their product.
Do you remember any particular products?
Well, on some on trailers, on travel trailers. Well, house trailers.
House trailers.
Big house trailers.
Yeah.
And not much of any I think he probably had some that he developed, I'm not sure, but nothing that I did. And that didn't last long because I knew that I didn't think that was going to last too long anyway. And besides my contract, I had a contract with Lowy.
Oh, did you
and
still?
It was, yeah, mm-hmm. And it was about half over.
Ah.
And so I wrote to him. In the meantime, I went to Ford and different places and tried to get a job and couldn't get anything that was what I had did have.
Right.
Although Ford said they would hire me, and that I was to be a supervisor in the Edsel department.
Oh. Who did you talk to about that?
Okay. Walker.
George Walker.
I think so.
Mm-hmm.
No, I think first I talked to somebody. I think I first talked to
Bob McGuire?
No. Bob Whelan.
Bob Whelan.
Later, he became a very good friend of ours, but I think at the very beginning, he interviewed me.
What was his job there?
I think he had some manager's job. It wasn't a top.
W-E-I-L-A-N-D.
There again, I'm not sure. Bob Whelan.
Okay. But they didn't offer you anything that you had.
Nothing good at all.
Yeah.
And so. But I did decide to go there and get started anyway, and I wrote to Lowy and asked him if, you see, my contract said so much while I was as a chief designer and an assistant manager,
mm-hmm.
and but I wasn't that anymore, so I thought, well, they'll just say, well, forget it, you're not. Your contract is void now. But he didn't say that at all. He said, I don't remember just what he said. In fact, it was in a letter.
Mm-hmm.
He said, we will continue your contract.
Honor your contract.
So I still got money for the rest of the year, which I really didn't expect. It was very nice of him. That's the kind of a guy he is.
Mm-hmm. So
even though it was out of his budget,
mm-hmm.
I suppose, because
yeah.
he was... Because it didn't come from Studebaker anymore, I'm sure.
Did you have any chance to catch on at the new design department at the Studebaker Packard after Lowy's unit left?
No, I didn't stay there at all.
Mm-hmm. Did you talk to Schmidt at all?
Yes, he wanted me to stay, but I don't think if Burke stayed, he would have been the. But Burke didn't stay either. But I think, who was it? Somebody else that came from Packard was to have the manager's job or
the chief designer
or something. So there was really no place for me.
Wasn't Dick Teague, was it?
Yeah, Dick.
Teague?
Did he come? No, but didn't, what was this fellow was just, just committed suicide here.
Duncan McRae.
He came over.
I see. Along with Schmidt, huh?
Yeah. So there was really no place for either Burke or myself. Well, maybe Burke could have if he tried, but he didn't.
He decided not to say.
So anyway, we. So I went with Ford and Burke and Hodgman got together and had their own design department in New York.
Who's Hodgman?
Claire Hodgman?
Oh,
say, I didn't get to the
no,
some of the most interesting parts with
that.
Lowy. Just going back to Lowy again.
Okay.
I'm sorry I'm jumping around
no,
so
fine.
Much. I get
no
all
problem.
It's hard to remember all these things. But Lowy had contracts in England, one with Austin Motor and one with Roots at different times. I think he had a contract with Roots long before in the early 30s with Sir William Roots and Sir Reginald Roots, and Claire Hodgman went over there at that time and did the Sunbeam Talbot, a real nice car. And I'll get to that later. I went to Roots later on, but before that I went to Austin, and I was to design a I had a couple men from the London office that would help me out. Mm-hmm. And in making a full-size model, full-size scale model, and I made a clay model, and had a quarter-size clay model, and all the time I would correspond with Loewy, show him photographs of what I was doing, mm-hmm. so he was well informed as just what was going on.
And what year was this?
This was in the
early
50s? Yeah, it was in the 50s.
Okay.
It was in 50. Mm-hmm. I think it was in 50. Yeah, I know it was.
Mm-hmm.
In the summer of 50. Mm-hmm. And I did this full-size model, clay model. It wasn't cast in plaster, but just clay. And it was painted. I had a certain paint that would stay on clay.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a nice looking model. I think it was, at least I thought it was.
Mm-hmm.
And it was very well liked. Lord was the directing
manager.
I'm not sure if he was the managing director. The managing director, I think, was Harriman. But anyway,
this is the
no, it wasn't. Well, anyway, yeah, it was the Roots.
Mm-hmm.
It was it's Austin. Austin, the small Austin, like
one
the Austin Seven.
One of Loewy's.
It was one of Loewy's accounts.
Of course, you worked with them back in the 30s.
Yeah, I worked with him a long time ago. Oh no, because over the then I wasn't in England. I made a model at Briggs,
mm-hmm.
but anyway, I finally finished this model. I guess we were about 4 months. Three or four months. And then I had the showing, and Lord came down there, and I was never so happy in my life. He very informal, he put his hand like this. You know, he says, I can't get over it. He says, this is so much nicer than what we've been working on for so long. He says, look at what we've got over here. Look at that. And can you believe that the next thing I heard, they didn't use one bit of my model.
Oh.
They went to the model. I don't know who changed his mind or what, but we heard that it didn't have enough of the Austin image.
Oh,
it wasn't an Austin.
Mm. That would be the early 50 Austin.
Yeah. That would have been the first one that came out. And that, incidentally, it was a very successful car.
Mm-hmm.
It was a very interesting layout from the engineering standpoint, the construction of it, the unit body type of a thing. It was a very, very well done car. But it wasn't our design. It wasn't Loewy's design. And of course, I think that irked Loewy a bit too. It sure was a disappointment to me. Anyway, there's a magazine, Austin Spotlight, they call it.
Mm-hmm.
And it features, most of it is about this car.
Oh.
About their, because it was
That
I didn't do that I worked on.
Right, yeah. Do they have your story? Did you have?
Oh, yeah. And then later, later one of the magazines, the editor of this magazine, he had heard that I did a car there, and he got in touch with me and wanted the photographs, which I sent colored photographs, mm-hmm. colored slides they were,
uh-huh.
and a lot of the stuff that I did. For them, and that they didn't use at all.
It was still in the Austin archives, were they?
Well, yeah, I guess so. And so he wrote in one of the magazines. He
mm-hmm.
Explained the whole thing. And since then, we have been corresponding. And now he wants us to get together. I'm coming to England in August,
mm-hmm.
and he's coming here the following year. We're going to have a reciprocal deal.
Very good.
And so then that's about the end of the Austin. Oh, one other kind of interesting thing. While I was celebrating my success, I thought,
mm-hmm.
we were at a at a place in Paris, at a restaurant, a fine restaurant there, and having our dinner, and somebody came up to me and said, "Bob Cotto." And it was Al Prance from Briggs. I hadn't seen him since I left Briggs. And he said he was in England at that time to break in a fellow that he had just hired to be in charge of the Ford, one of the English Fords.
Mm-hmm. You remember and who that was?
I should know.
Did he later?
I forget just what did happen.
How do you spell Prance's last name? P-R-A-N-C-S-E?
I don't know. Prance. Anyway, and he said at that time, he says, "This is such a coincidence." He says, "Because I almost asked you to come with me." He says, "I almost hired you." That is, if you had come.
Uh-huh. That was at four.
So, this was in Paris, at a restaurant that I met him. But this was at it was about Ford, English Ford.
I see.
To come back to Ford.
Oh, you were talking about what happened 20 years earlier, or 15 years earlier.
No, this was at that time. This was in 50. And he wanted me, or he had this other fellow uh-huh. with him, and they were out just having dinner, mm-hmm. and he was gonna
break him in.
Mm-hmm. And he said it was almost me instead of him, or he was considering me. I guess that was
him. You hadn't talked to him when you had gone to Ford earlier, or no, this was before you went to Ford. Yeah.
Right. This was when I was working for Lowy, right after the Austin.
In the early 50s.
In the early 50s.
And Prance was working for Ford.
And Ford, yeah. Or Briggs. He was probably working for...
Still with Briggs.
Well, wait a minute. No. Briggs took over... Chrysler took over Briggs.
I see. Okay.
So Prance went with Chrysler.
Well, I see.
Wait a minute.
With
that doesn't make sense, though.
With the merger, yeah.
Because this was Ford. Chrysler didn't have a plant. It must have been... He must have been still with Briggs before Chrysler bought him out, I think, because it was with Ford. It was a Ford contract.
Okay, good. And he thought about you, and you remembered you from the 30s, and he
yeah.
said, "Gee, I almost called you up."
Yeah. So it was a coincidence.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You were about to talk about the gentleman who went and did the Sunbeam Talbot.
Yeah, but that's Claire Hodgman.
Yeah.
And so later on, this is after my experience with Austin.
Mm-hmm.
Lowy had a contract with Roots Group, another contract. He had an earlier one.
Okay.
And this was to do an all-new Hillman Minx.
Oh, yes.
And also a sports car.
Mm.
And so that was very exciting. And Claire Hodgman and myself were to go over there and do this program.
Go over to England.
To go over to England.
Mm-hmm.
And right away, we were met by... Sir William Roots, and he asked us where we're staying and all, and we were staying at the Cumberland. He said, "Oh, you don't want to stay at that place. That's not nice enough." So he said, "You can have my suite at the Berkeley, I guess, or some real expensive place." So we did, and he took us out to dinner and had steaks were very uncommon, but he was able to get us a big steak dinner and all that, and. So, the next day we were to be shown at the showroom in London the different projects, models of the Hillman. See, they made Hillman Humber, they made trucks, and they made the Minx and different things, and they were going to just show us there. Of course, Hodgman has been there before, so he was acquainted with Sir William Roots. But I wasn't, but I met him, and I thought he was a great guy. I liked him,
uh-huh.
especially after he, there was a big table, and they were all around trying to decide what to do. And Sir William said to me, or said to them, "Cotto and I are going to go over and sit in this Sunbeam Talbot and see if what he thinks about your suggestions." So we sat in the back seat of this car, and he said, "This is what they want to do." He said, "They want to leave the floor pan, but they want to widen the top. They think there isn't enough room in the back here. And so, he said, "What do you think?" And I said, "Gee, it doesn't sound good to me at all." I said, "You means you mean you save the doors, but you make a new roof, you make new hoods, you make hood, you deck and everything, and." To me, it isn't going to be any better. It's going to be worse because you're straightening the thing out. Now it's got a little tumble home. We try to make more tumble home instead of less. Mm-hmm. And I said, I think it'd be the wrong way to go entirely. And he says, "I agree." And he says, then he told the people at the chair, he says, "Cotto and I decided we're not going to do this." I got a big kick out of that.
This was the Minx, huh?
Yeah, this was on the Sunbeam Talbot.
Oh, the Talbot.
So they didn't make that change on the Talbot. So mm-hmm. I still had the work to do on the Hillman Minx, mm-hmm. and that car came out just the way my model was,
really?
Just about the same.
Great.
Very little bit difference. Mm-hmm. That was one time they did do just the way my mm-hmm. car was supposed to.
That year Hillman Minx, has that become a collectible car? Have you seen
it's also, yeah. I wish I'd brought my samples with me, because in one of the books, one of the trade magazine, that had, I think it was called Classics and Thoroughbreds, mm-hmm. and it had a picture of the Minx, but not, it was the, later on they came out with, using the same body, but they dolled it up a little bit and call it the Sunbeam. I think they call it the Sunbeam. I'm not sure, I get these things mixed up.
It was probably called Sunbeam.
Sunbeam, mm-hmm. yeah. And anyway, it was pretty much the same as the Minx, mm-hmm. but a little bit better. I think it was a hard top. They put a lower top on it. That's right. But it was the same body otherwise.
Well, that was a fascinating episode for you.
Yeah, that was one thing I was pleased about. That usually your work is
buried.
About 99 times out of 100, it doesn't reach production.
Yeah. Has it happened to you with frustrating regularity?
Oh yes. I don't suppose any more so than the average designer.
No. But a couple of those interesting episodes had not
some really, cold coffee.
Yeah, had not really come out as you would hope they would.
That's right.
So, did you stay with the Roots Group for a while?
Well, Claire and I were over there for just a short time. We did the model, the quarter size model.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I did it. He had suggestions here and there. We worked together, mm-hmm. And then we went back. He went to New York, and I went to South Bend.
Mm-hmm.
And in the meantime, their modelers and their designer built the full-size clay model.
Mm-hmm.
And then I went over. I think we both went over. Yeah, we both went over.
Mm-hmm.
I think. And so it was the second time I was over there on this Hillman.
Did you get final approval to the model?
They finally approved it. Well, they approved of the quarter size, and then they approved of the full size, and then it came out just about the way, just about the way. Except I remember they made they put more headroom in the rear seat than it needed, and we were able to get that down again. But other than that, it was very successful, and I think it was quite a successful car.
So that was your last freelance job you had with the Lowy unit?
Yeah, that was. Well, wait, that was way back in 50, so it wasn't... the last freelance.
Yeah, right.
Although there was... One time I went to New York to do a sports car. This was for Lowy, too.
Mm-hmm.
And I did some just renderings, mm-hmm. just line drawings, but they were big ones. And I have those at home. And one of them, this editor of this magazine... From Austin, this is Austin.
Mm-hmm, the Austin spot.
It was supposed to be a sports car that Lowy did.
Oh.
And he showed me the quarter-size photograph of a quarter-size clay model that was done. I didn't do this model. It was done in England, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
But it was exactly the same as one of those line drawings that I made.
So he apparently had sent them over to England and said, make them out.
And it was made, and this is the first I knew about it.
Did it ever come out?
No.
No, just one of the things that have been proposed.
It was something that, I don't remember the story about it, but there was a story about it.
So the Studebaker Lowy contract has ended. They're paying you until the end of the year. What did you do then?
Well, you see, I went to Ford right away.
How did that come about?
Well, I didn't have any samples, or did I? I don't know. I wasn't very well prepared, to tell the truth.
Did you have some contacts over there, the people you knew?
At Ford?
Uh-huh.
Yes, I knew Alex Tremulis.
Oh, yes.
In fact, I had lunch with him. He took me out to lunch, I remember.
Mm-hmm.
And at that time, he had a good job with the Ford.
Mm-hmm.
He was one of the top men.
Mm-hmm.
But somehow I didn't get a very good job. But I did take the job with the hopes of improving.
Mm-hmm.
And
what was the job they gave you?
It was supervisor of the Edsel. There was two Edsels. The Edsel that was made out of the mercury from the mercury body, and the Edsel that was made out of the Ford body. One was EM and one was EF.
Mm-hmm.
EF for Ford.
Right.
And I was on the supervisor of the EM. And the car was pretty much designed by that time.
What was the overall Edsel designer?
The Edsel designer was Roy Brown, you know. And he took an awful beating after that. And I was sorry for him. I don't think he deserved it. He was chief designer and went down to a job of a manager. There was executive and then there was manager. He went down two notches.
Two grades, huh?
Yeah.
And sent to England, was there?
Yeah, I guess he was.
Yeah. Well, was there any input that you had into the final Edsel design?
Very minor. You see, it was all designed. So hard to remember names way back when you haven't heard of them for all these years.
Mm-hmm.
The basic theme had already been designed, the horseshoe color, they call it.
Right.
And the mercury character lines, the two lines that went through the body, and they didn't know how to end that up in the fender there. And I did that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that's about the only thing. So it was very minor that I did.
But you can see it in the finished product.
Yeah, I can see what...
The large Edsel, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
It was made from the mercury.
Right. Yeah.
And, but then I got I was getting impatient, because I was back on a board, right? I hadn't been on a board for a long time, although I always made models. I was always in the modeling room, but I hadn't been on a board for some time. And here... I had a desk and little detail parts and meetings and stuff, and it was very uninteresting from my standpoint. No complete cars to do or anything like that. So I went to see Exner. I'd known him for quite a while.
Now, where was he at this time?
He was vice president at that time of Chrysler.
This is the late 50s or middle to late 50s?
This is when I went to... this was in, 50. When did I go to Ford?
A year to go to Ford.
Ford, August 55 to April 68.
Okay.
So this must have been in 56.
Okay.
About 56.
Uh-huh.
I had an appointment with Exner and tried to get a job there. And
he remembered you from Studebaker.
Yeah, he remembered me. Sure, he knew me well.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, sure, he could fit me in, but not in a job like I used to have.
Mm-hmm.
Not any chief or assistant chief or anything like that. But it was a lot better job than I had at Ford.
Yeah.
So I think I made a little resume of the work I did. And I didn't go to Walker, but I went to they had a general manager, Breen, I think his name was, and he was in charge of all of everybody, everything, I guess, other than Walker. Walker was the top, of course.
At Ford?
Yeah.
Was it Ford name?
No. He wasn't a designer. He was an office manager, administrator, yeah. Okay. That's what I'm trying to think. He was the chief administrator. And so I talked with him for quite a while and told him all the things I did and so on, and including the Ford.
Good. Yeah.
Including the 49 Ford.
First time you mentioned it.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
And so he was surprised, and he took it into Walker.
Mm-hmm.
And Walker called me in, and he didn't want me to, I get the sense that he didn't want me to take credit for the 49 Ford. He said, I'll tell you how this was done. And so he gave me...
What did he say?
It was a combination of a couple other models, or something like that.
You wanted to give the credit to Joe Harrison.
He wanted to give more credit to Joe Harrison, Elvin Engel. But anyway, he did come through with a decent job.
Oh, he did? Good.
But it wasn't quite... Yeah.